welcome to our podcast this Friday evening. We're glad you're able to join us here from the studio at the City on the Hill. God bless you for being here. I'm Pastor Danny Lalayan with my wife Julie and my son Benji over here to my left, your right. But we're excited to do this podcast with you. And as you know, again, everything we do here is about the remnant. So we thought we'd take a few minutes and just bring out, maybe in some cases, re-bring out some examples of what a remnant looks like in the Word of God. Now, before I have Benji start with reading a scripture, I want to point out that this was more difficult than it seemed for this reason, because you could almost literally pull any scripture from the Word of God and talk about the remnant. You can pull almost virtually any scripture out and say, this was God's remnant. This is an example of a remnant. We have learned here that from the beginning to the end of the Word of God, it is a book about God finding a remnant, using the remnant, blessing the remnant, and even saving the remnant. That is what the Word of God is about. God always had a remnant. And again, maybe I'm putting the cart before the horse a little bit with when I say this, but even when the remnant was only 8 people, and maybe some of you already know who I'm referring to, but I don't want to jump in too quick because we're going to talk about this person. But even when the remnant was only 8 people, that's who God used. That's who God saved. We're going to stick to... So because we could literally use almost any story in the Word of God, we decided mostly just to stick to the very obvious basic ones for at least for this purpose here, because our point is we're not trying to point out every single example, because it's the entirety of the Word of God. We just want to make it clear how God works so that there can be an understanding. But I've asked Benji to start with a scripture in Isaiah that kind of set the tone as to how things work. So Benji, read the book in Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 6 I told you to read, and read those verses of scripture. We'll talk about them, and then we'll name a handful of other examples, obvious examples of remnant people and how God used them. Go ahead.
Beginning in verse 9. And God said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. The houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return, and be for consuming. As a terebinth tree, or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump.
The holy seed. That's another way of saying remnant. It says a tenth of them shall remain. That's another way of saying remnant. But lest anyone doesn't really grasp what we're dealing with here, let me just now move this to the New Testament, because while it should not necessarily be important because it's all the Word of God, I still want to give the nuance of reading to you something that Paul wrote about this very thing that Benji just read to you. Paul quotes Isaiah in Romans chapter 9, and this is what he says as he quotes Isaiah. Romans chapter 9, verse 28 says, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. Now, the part, again, of course, I'm focusing on there is that you have Israel, that is our example. I don't know if I read it on a podcast. I know I talked about it in a couple of different messages during services, but I read a scripture from Paul where he talked about everything that happened back in what we call the Old Testament. Everything that happened, he said, is for our example. So this is for our example here. This is for us to learn by. And Paul, quoting Isaiah, quoting what God said, said, this is Israel, this is my people, but yet a remnant will be saved. And in fact, we read in the scripture that Benji read, he said a tenth will be left behind. A tenth will be left as the holy seed. Again, this is not to get into doctrinal, theological things. I do that all the time from the pulpit. You can go listen to any of those messages, and I get into doctrinal, theological things to try to show you exactly how things are laid out in the Word of God. This is more just to point out to you how God does things and how explicit it has been made in the Word of God that God always has a remnant, that the remnant is small, and that that is who God considers to be the holy seed. And you see in the Old Testament, we read it in the New Testament. We read it. God made it clear. He said, the remnant shall be saved. That's our example. That's not just some good quote. That is our example of how God does things. It is always the remnant that is saved. And you say, well, what's the point of even talking about this? Well, the point is, and again, if you're here, then you know this. If you're watching this podcast and you haven't seen our services, go watch Wednesday night from a couple of nights ago, and then go watch Sunday from this past Sunday, because it'll help you understand what I'm talking about. But the reason it's important is because in the church world today, there's this idea that if you think you're saved, there's this idea of if you say a few words, you say a few words with a thousand other people while you're standing there in an auditorium, you know that, oh, well, good, let me go live my life now. I know I'm going to heaven. And that's not how it works. It's just not. And now's not the time for me to get into that. Go watch and listen to those messages. But it's important to understand that if you're not serving God with fear and trembling, which I read those scriptures during the services, if you're not working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that's what the Bible says, that you have to work out. You don't just sit there and say, all right, I've said a few words, I'm saved. You have to work out your salvation before the Lord daily. Daily. That word is called holiness. It's called sanctification. That's what it is. If you're not working it out daily, then you're missing what God's will is. There needs to be a certain fear and trembling before the Lord, because you have to say, wait a minute. It's God's remnant. That's who he chooses. That's who is saved. It's God's remnant. That's why we're reading these scriptures. There's so many other scriptures we've talked about over the last several months. These are just some other ones I wanted to point out to you. But do you have any, before we get into some examples, either one of you have anything you want to add?
I do. I was just considering whether it was a good time to introduce a concept about the remnant that would apply to all of these examples. And what came to my mind as I was, you know, thinking about this was the truth that anyone who is a part of the remnant, that it's evident and it's even talked about that they have to make an individual choice to be different than everyone else around them. They have to make a choice, and they have to act it out, walk it out, show, demonstrate, however you, whatever word you want to use, being visibly different in actions than everyone else around them, yeah. Separating themselves from the crowd in some way, whether you're talking about Noah and his family, whether you're talking about...
Don't give our examples away.
Say Noah because you already mentioned Noah.
Slow your roll a little bit there.
But I'm just thinking of different people. Some, you know, maybe you guys haven't even said.
Well, again...
that's a common thread, common
denominator.
Why
is what she said important? It's important because of what I read in Romans. The remnant will be saved. You know, people read that scripture and they say, okay. But they don't understand. That's a principle. Scripture only becomes important to you when you recognize that these are principles that God has spoken for us to live by. It's not poetry. It is principles that we're supposed to live by. It's not fodder to put on a t-shirt. It's not something that for a bumper sticker. It's not something that you put on, you know, a sticker on your iPad. This is the Word of God. And you have to understand that these are given to us to live by. These are given to us to say, oh, that's how God does things, so that's how I have to do things. That's what you have to understand. So what she's saying is important because the Bible says the remnant will be saved. And so if it's the remnant that is saved, then you have to listen to what she's saying and say, well, then I have to take it seriously. I have to make that choice every day. I have to choose, and the scripture we've been talking a lot here and ministering a lot here is where Jesus said, if you choose anything else, he said, you're not worthy of me. And I know most people that call themselves Christians would say, oh, yeah, of course. Of course, I love Jesus more than anything else. But they're missing... they're missing the nuance of that scripture. The nuance of that scripture is that it's possible to not be worthy of Christ. Because most every Christian would say, my worthiness has nothing to do with it.
It's like Hebrews says, it's possible to fall short of his grace.
Exactly. They'll say, well, your worthiness does have... Jesus said, if you don't love me more than everything else, then you're not worthy of me.
And how do you show that you love him more than you can't just have a feeling in your heart
exactly.
And say, I love you, God, I love you more than everything else. And that's my stance that I'm taking. That's the feeling of my heart, but then not show it and walk it out.
I don't remember exactly where it was. It could be easily found, but I read a scripture the other night in the service where Paul, I believe it was Paul. He said, their mouth professes me, but in works they deny me. You know, that's what we're talking about. People say, well, as long as I confess it with my mouth, then but you're not understanding the Word of God if that's what you say. Yes, of course, the scripture says if you confess with your mouth, that is absolutely a part of it. But you're not understanding the rest of the Word of God if you just say, well, I confess it with my mouth. That's not the full truth. That's why Paul said they confess it, they speak it with their mouth. He said they profess God. He said, but in works they deny him. That's an awesome scripture to think about.
And another one other thing before you go on, you might be thinking, well, the Bible says, "Come out from among them and be separate." That's how you identify as the remnant. And your mind might go to, you know, well, okay, so that means I'm going to go and, you know, build myself a little hut that's far away from everyone else. You know, there I have come out from among them to be separate. But that has such a deeper meaning than that. You can live in a hut somewhere that's separate from everybody and, you know, pull your Bible out and read it every morning and every night, but yet you're still doing the behaviors and you're, you know, going to the same places that everyone else does, or you're, you know, you're going and seeking, resources or sources, you know, that everybody else does, just doing things the same way. It's just, you know, but you think that you're separate because you're living somewhere else. More than that.
Now's not necessarily the time for me to get into this, but coming out from among them means separating yourself to where the anointing is, separating yourself to where the God's people, where God's remnant is, well, I'll tell you what we call it here. We call it the ark here. That's what we call it here. We call it the ark. God is always looking for that remnant, and this is going to help get us segue us into Noah, but God always is looking for his remnant people to be on that ark, to be on that anointed ark, that holy ark. That's where God is looking for his remnant to be. We're bringing up a lot of stuff, and we don't have time to get into every little bit of it. So let's just go ahead and jump into Noah, who is such a great example of a remnant people. The Bible talks about Noah and when he lived. It talks about how God looked at man and he was disappointed and angry and upset. And so what did God do? God said, well, I'm going to destroy all of man. And it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now, again, that story in itself throws on its head what 99% of church people believe. They believe that God's grace chases you down. They believe that God's grace is going to chase you down no matter what. And what they'll say is, well, that's Old Testament. But God didn't love people in the Old Testament? Is that what you're saying? That God didn't love people in Noah's day? If God is love, then he's always loved people. But the Bible said that because people had fallen away from serving God, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God because he was willing to live out the remnant lifestyle. And so in the end of what we see about Noah and his family, literally the Bible says that every person and even every creature died upon the face of the earth. But how many people were saved, Benji? There were eight. There were eight that were God's remnant. Now, obviously, it's not eight people that are going to be saved today, but it shows you how small the remnant really is when you look at the fact that God saved only eight people. And what the reason this becomes important to us is not only does it show an example of a remnant that God saved, not only does it show an example of a remnant that God used, not only does it show an example of how God had to destroy all the rest and had a holy seed to start with and to use, not only does it show that, but Jesus himself said, he said the last days are going to be like the days of Noah. He actually said, if you want an example of how the last days are going to be, he said it's going to be like the days of Noah. That's how it's going to be. And I've been saying to people, it's amazing to me. It absolutely is astounding to me how people will read things that Jesus said And their response will be, well, let me tell you what he really meant by that. Let me tell you, explain to you what Jesus really was trying to say. When Jesus doesn't need any help explaining what when he said it will be like the days of Noah, he meant it will be like the days of Noah. And like the days of Noah, God is looking for a remnant people that he can save. He's looking for a remnant people that he can use. He's looking for a remnant people to put on an ark as a testimony, not to be hidden on the ark, but to be seen by everybody.
Real quick, this might be just a tiny bit off topic, but I just wanted to say that twisting the words of Jesus is always the devil at work.
Always. Always. But that's the way the devil works. The devil doesn't make up other stuff. He tries to twist the stuff of God. He always has. That's what he did when he tempted Jesus. He tries to take the things that are of God and holy and tries to make them unholy. He tries to take the same words and make them unholy. And so that's exactly right. But Noah being our first big example that we want to talk on, it's such a great example for the fact that Jesus himself said, it's going to be like the days of Noah. And if you don't understand how that in the days of Noah, there were 8 people that were saved and everyone else perished, not because God didn't give them a chance. Every person that was there had a chance to be Noah. Every single person on the earth had a chance.
That's right.
To find grace
exactly
in the eyes of God.
Right, exactly.
Every
right.
single one of them.
They had to make a choice.
Every one of them, but they chose not to. And God looked at it, says he was sorry. It literally says that he was sorry that he made man. Now, for some reason, Christians take that and they say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. But let me just tell you, if you're saying that that's the God of the Old Testament, then you're very well might be on the verge of being someone that's not even going to receive eternity and salvation. I'm just going to be blunt. I said on Sunday, I'm done, you know, playing games and patting people on the back. If you don't recognize that the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament, then I don't know if you're even saved. And I know that's going to shock a lot of people. It's going to shock a lot of people, but God doesn't change. And the Bible makes it clear. You know, you have Christians today, and a lot of them do it. They say, well, isn't it amazing how you can see Christ all throughout the Old Testament? Yeah, but do you listen to what you're saying? Christ was always there. He was there in Israel. The Bible literally says that Christ was there. It says that he was that rock. It literally says that. Christ was always there. Even before the earth was made, Christ was there. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. The only difference, hear me, and we're kind of getting off track, but I want people to hear me. The only difference is that the door now is Christ. He's the door. He made the door open so that all could choose to walk in and become a part of what we're talking about. He's the door. And so that's the only difference. The God of the Old Testament is the exact same God. And not only is it the same God, he hasn't changed. Anything he wanted from Abraham, he still wants from you. Anything he wanted from Moses, he still wants from you. Anything he wanted from David, he still wants from you. Anything he wanted from Elijah, he still wants from you. Anything he's wanted from Noah and his remnant, he still wants from you.
You still have to find his grace, just like Noah.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. That's why Hebrews 12, in the New Testament, by the way, that's why Hebrews 12 says, it says, do not fall short. It says, lest any man fall short of the grace of God. Yes, God has made his grace free and available, but you got to go get it. You got to separate yourself and you got to go get it.
Not going to chase you down.
That's the way it's supposed to work. And so Noah is our first example of a remnant people that God found and he used and he blessed. And again, I'm not sitting here trying to point to say I try to be very careful. I'm not sitting here saying how many people exactly are going to be saved. What I am saying is that if you look at the Word of God, you can't show me an example of where God didn't it wasn't the remnant. You can't show me. In fact, in Romans, as I read to you, he said, "And the remnant shall be saved." God, I talked about this maybe last week's podcast. Paul said, he literally said this. He said, here's an example for you. Paul said, he said, here's an example. The millions of Israel all perished in the wilderness. They all perished and their bodies were scattered and they died because God wasn't happy with them. He said, except for, of course, Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua were what? They were the remnant. They were the remnant. And so Paul said, that's your example. That's your example. He said, you got to be like Caleb. You got to be like Joshua. You have to be like they were, because that's who God chooses. And there's not enough, there's virtually no fear and trembling in the church today. There's no, Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's no fear and trembling. We just say, well, I've said a few words, I'm good. And I'm just afraid that there's a lot, millions and millions and millions of people that are closing their eyes when they die and they're waking up saying, wait a minute, I thought I was saved. And Jesus looks at them and he says, but I never knew you. And they say, but Lord, we prophesied for you. Didn't you know? Don't you know that President Trump heard my prophecy? Don't you know he heard my prophecy? Don't you know that we did miracles for you? We filled that stadium with 100,000 people. They were all crying. Didn't you see that? And what did Jesus say? Jesus said this. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. That should bring fear and trembling to your life. And that's what the city on a hill is all about.
I just want to say one thing about fear real quick. You'd be hard-pressed to find a person on this earth who, if a demon were to stare them in the face, they wouldn't be afraid. They would be afraid if a demon was staring them in the face. And the reason I'm saying that, because the Bible says that the demons tremble. They believe and tremble.
That's great. It's really good. Yeah, that's good. You know, you're right. Someone looks at a demon, they're going to be, you better check their diaper. Let's just put it like that. You know, but he gives a good point. You talk about the holy things of God, and people are like, well, isn't it great that God, he doesn't care what I do. He doesn't care how I look. He doesn't care how I worship. He doesn't care. He's made me free. No, no, no.
He rides shotgun with me when I'm on my way to
the ball field
on Sunday.
But the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And somewhere along the line, people have turned that to mean, well, I could do whatever I want to do. He says, I can work out my own salvation. When the purpose of that scripture is to make you scared. It's to make you scared. Then you say, well, God's a God of love. He doesn't want me scared. Then you don't know the same God that I know. And I'm afraid for you. Well, let's bring up another. We've kind of lost our way. This is good. But let's at least bring up another one or two examples. Let's bring up Elijah. Another big example of a remnant circumstance. Elijah went up on the mountain, repaired the altar, called fire down from heaven. It was Elijah versus hundreds of other false prophets. by himself. And the Bible says that Elijah felt like he was alone because the remnant's so small. He eventually brought the rain, prayed the rain down. But even after all those mighty miracles, he felt so alone that he went off into a cave by himself. And the Bible says that God finally came to him and said, "Elijah, what are you doing? Why are you sitting here in a cave?" And Elijah said, "Well, I called fire down from heaven. I killed all the prophets, false prophets. I brought the rain through prayer after it hasn't rained for years." He said, "And no one will listen to me." He said, I'm it. He said, "I'm the remnant and I'm it. I'm all by myself." And God encouraged him by saying to him, he said, "Well, there's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal." And so, again, I've done this before, but let's just take a look at this for a moment. Most Christians read that and say, "Woo, there's 7,000. But do you understand that it was 7,000 out of millions of people? It was A.W. Tozier who said that in whatever estimation or studies he had, that there were 7 million people in Israel by some accounts. By other accounts, there was maybe as many as 14 million people in Israel. But let's take the smaller, more conservative number. Let's say there were only 7 million people. Do you realize what 7,000 is?
0.1%.
Of
1/10 of 1%.
0.1%.
Okay, let me ask my statistician son, do the how? What is it, statistician son?
That would be 1 out of 1,000.
So that is that 1%?
That is 0.1.
0.1%. Thank you.
1/10.
They had it right.
They had it right. Well, I didn't want to say it until you confirmed it. When you have a statistician in the room, you use him. So 0.1% was the remnant at that time. Do you get that? Let's not think about Elijah. Let's not think about the fire from heaven. Let's not think about how God came to him. Let's not think about that for a moment. All that's for another day. Let's think about that by God's own spoken word, his mouth, he said, "This is my remnant, and this is how big they are." That's only 0.1%, I think. Is that right? 0.1%. I'm so averse to numbers, I can't even say the numbers right. But 0.1% was God's remnant. Think about that for a moment. Think about how that works. 0.1%. And this is after the fire fell from heaven. This is after all the miracles that Elijah did. This is after. And so people are on their knees and they're snotting and they're crying. "Well, God, if you do this. Well, God, if you do that." No, God did it and people still didn't listen. God is looking for a holy remnant, a remnant that hasn't bowed their knees. A remnant that hasn't bowed their knees. And I want to tell you that by the tens of millions, by the tens of millions, Christians bow their knees every single day. And I said this on Wednesday night, and I'm going to say it again. And again, I want to make it clear. I'm not sitting here pointing, this person's saved, this person's not, this person's not, this person's not, this person. I'm not doing that. I'm giving you the word of God. That's what I'm doing. And I'm giving you the things that are around us and letting us put it together with the word of God to see how it works. But I said this on Wednesday night. I believe the number was altogether this like 2.3 billion or 2.8 billion. I don't remember. Please forgive me. But somewhere between 2 and 3 billion people are considered to be Christian on this planet. So you tell me, does that sound like a remnant to you? Does that sound like the days of Noah? Does that sound like the days of Elijah? Does that sound like the 120 that were in the upper room? Does that sound like, go into the Word of God. Go into, does it sound like Joshua and Caleb? Does it sound like Abraham and his family? Does that sound, and you say, well, things are different now. No, it's the same God. It's the same God. And if you don't have fear and trembling and say, wait a minute. This is the way God has always done it. This is the way God has always done it. So maybe I should consider that's how he's still doing it today. I know I've said this about a dozen times in different messages, but it's so stuck with me. I continue to use it when this remnant principle became real to A.W. Tozier, who is one of the most beloved teachers of God's word. When it became real to him, he said, all of a sudden I realized reading the word of God that this remnant thing is real. He said, and when I realized it was real, he said, I got scared. He said, and I started telling everyone that this remnant thing is real, that these churches filled with people that they're not all saved. They think they are. He said, I realized this is real. He said, and I started telling people, and I realized that I just had to get used to preaching to empty seats because no one wants to listen to the real truth about the remnant. He said, I realized no one wants to hear this, and there's nothing I could do about it. He said, so I just have to get used to preaching to empty seats. Because when I tell people that the remnant principle is real, they all leave. And I say to you, at the risk of you of people not understanding, that the remnant is small. And the Bible says the remnant shall be saved. And it's small. It's small.
I got one more example of a remnant that I just want to quickly bring up. About the Armenians who came over to America.
Great example. We lived this out. Our family lived this out. The country of Armenia, it was a nation that was the first Christian nation on this planet. It was the first one. So the entire country considered themselves Christian. But it was a small group of people of prophetic people. A very small group that God found in the hills of Armenia that God said, I have found a group of prophetic people that will follow my word, and you, because you're following my word, I can save you, and I can bless you, and I can use you. And God brought those people out of destruction and brought them to this country. And the ones you're seeing at this table and that come and are a part of this church, that is the seed. Some literal physical seed like me, others a spiritual seed. That is the seed of those people that lived in the hills of Armenia that God chose. And he found a remnant of people. And where hundreds of thousands of others were slaughtered, including every other person in the village they came from, God found a group of people. You can read our story. It's been a long time since I've mentioned it, but you can read our story in the book, The Happiest People. It's the story of our people and how they came here. But God found a remnant. And this church, this is a remnant church. That's who we are. We are a remnant church, and God told my parents decades ago, he said, you're to prepare an ark. And we didn't understand what it meant decades ago. We do now. God has an ark here because the last days are like the days of Noah. That's what Jesus said. And I encourage you, you need to come and be a part of this ark as quick as you can. Because you're going to learn what it is to be a remnant person. You're going to learn what it is to serve God. And if you sit there and you want to close your ears and say, well, I don't want to hear that. I just want to believe that I've done what I need to do and I'm going to heaven. And that's good enough for me. Well, the trick's on you then. It's on you. Because that's not how it works. And you say, but I'm so sure. Well, you know, I keep saying this, I'm going to say it again, that the Muslim people that got on the airplanes and rammed into the Twin Towers in New York, they were sure too. They were sure that they were pleasing their God. They were sure. The bombers that strap the dynamite or C4 or whatever it is, they put on there and go walk into crowd and blow themselves up. They're sure that they're going to heaven. They're sure that they're going to go have dozens of wives in heaven. They're sure. So don't tell me you're sure. Don't tell me you're sure. Tell me you're holy. Tell me you're walking in holiness. Because the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. That's the term I've been using recently is, that's the gotcha. That's the gotcha of it. Everything else you can kind of play games with in the Word of God. You can't play games with holiness. You're either holy or you're not. And that's why the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And I've been encouraging people here that it's time to serve God with fear and trembling. And it's time to begin to get the message out to people that you love. And I can't promise or guarantee that it's going to turn them. I can't promise or guarantee. And I'm talking about people that you think are Christians. Those are the ones you go to them. Go to them. Go to the ones that you sit and have prayer meetings with. Go to the ones that sit there and speak in tongues with you. Go to them. Because Jesus said, well, just because you say you did miracles for me, just because you did all these things for me, that doesn't mean anything. He said, I never knew you. Go to them. Go to the Christian people. Go to your children that you think are well, I think that they've given their heart to the Lord. Go to them. Because the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And so, I guess we'll bring it. Do you have anything else? I think that pretty much says it all. Praise the Lord. Busy, give us our clothes.
Right. We got our regular services that we have every week, Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Wednesday night, 7 p.m., which are becoming the remnant services in the sanctuary, and occasional, roughly once a month, ARC encounters in the back, led by Pastor Danny. And our sanctuary services are all in person and also on our online social platforms, which include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and all the rest of our online functions. We got something going on every day of the week. Devotions come out every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101 with me, Tuesday at 8 p.m. online. Calling the Remnant podcast like this one every Friday at 8 p.m. online. And you can listen to the podcasts on Spotify, wherever else you can listen to podcasts. Siri and Alexa can play the latest Calling the Remnant podcast if you just ask them to. And as always, I invite you to come join us and experience what God is doing with the Remnant and the Ark.
Praise the Lord. Well, that's it for this Friday evening. God bless you. I hope you come and join us Sunday morning at 11. Every Sunday morning, we start with communion. Listen, you say, well, I have to drive too far. There's no such thing as too far get under the anointing. There is no such thing. None whatsoever. There is no too far. You need to come and join us, and I'll be looking for you at the altar on Sunday morning. God bless you.